Good afternoon and welcome to Ask the Expert with Dr. Walter Tom of Dr. Tom Cosmetic Surgery. Dr. Tom has offices in Santa Rosa, Napa, and Maui. You can find him online at drtomcosmetic.com. That's drtomcosmetic.com. Dr. Tom has been voted by you and Press Democrat readers the best cosmetic surgeon for 9 years in a row.
Hello, Sonoma County. Hello, Napa, and aloha, Maui. I'm Dr. Walter Tom on Ask the Expert, and I have our wonderful surgical liaison, Karina. How
Hi.
Are you, Karina?
Doing good. Thank you.
And our program director, Jeff. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing all right.
You're doing all right. Okay. Jeff's doing all right. I guess if we're all feeling all right, that's good. But only those baby boomers will remember that song, I think. Anyways, hey, welcome to our show. And so today I'm very fortunate to have Karina. Karina, thank you. How long have we been working together?
Five years.
Yeah. Huh, Karina?
No, they've been good.
They've been good. Okay, so Karina is wonderful. She's our medical assistant, started off that way, became our surgical assistant and technician, and has now morphed, continued to evolve because of her knowledge and her passion into our surgical liaison. So if you were to call our office, you would hear Karina is the voice of our office.
Yes.
So thank you, Karina, for being part of our team. And so as a surgical liaison, I know we get a lot of questions.
Yes.
And so I remember we were sort of sitting around chatting and writing them down of what people were asking us. And sometimes people just want to know what we do. So
right.
I thought maybe we could kind of jump into that.
Okay.
Is that all right?
Yes.
All right. So you play the host now,
I will be the question asker.
Okay. Great. Thank
all
you.
All right. So first question up is why do women get cosmetic surgery?
Why do women get cosmetic surgery, in particular breast surgery?
Well, any surgery,
okay,
but particularly, breast surgery.
Okay, so what I'm going to say is probably 90% of our clientele, our patients, are women. Men actually are an increasing number,
yes,
which is kind of cool. I love having a few extra Y chromosomes in the office. That's fun for me. Women usually have been thinking about a cosmetic procedure for a while, and it can be due to a lot of different things. It might be something that they were born with that they aren't maybe quite as happy with. Maybe they are something is happening in life that they want to get prepared for. But they're usually thinking about something for a long time before they even pick up the phone and they call and talk with you. In particular, because I know today we're focused on cosmetic breast surgery specifically, is that I know that women think about this for a long time. The answer is going to ask the questionnaire.
Yeah.
So please tell me, what age groups do you think come to see us for breast augmentation, not lifts and reductions, but just breast augmentation?
Yeah, would this be initial breast
augmentation?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so probably 20s and 30s, I'd say, first timers. But we've had a few patients that have been, you know, thinking about it, and they're more in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and they're like, hey, I'm here. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay,
yeah.
Right. So, Karina, I'm gonna out you, Karina. Karina's in her 20s, and she looks like she's about 19,
no.
Okay? She's that young that she doesn't like being told she looks younger, okay? But most people would think that, especially when we're talking about breast augmentation, we're talking about women in their early 20s into their 30s as the primary group. There's still be that group of women who maybe were teased when they were younger, didn't develop the way that they would have liked to have developed, and they just don't feel comfortable in their body. So definitely there's that subgroup, which I think is going to be the initial majority for primary breast augmentation. But you're absolutely right. We are seeing women in their late 30s, women in their 40s, women in their 50s who are coming to us for first-time breast augmentation.
Yeah.
And when I talk to them, and when you talk to them, you screen them on the phone initially, and then we bring them in for a consultation. How long do you think women are usually thinking about something like this? I have an opinion, but what do they tell you?
Oh, you know, it varies, but, you know, I had kids, I thought about it then, and I didn't do it, or Many years.
Many years. So you said that when they had kids. And so I will tell you that I think that you're spot on, that women, even if they're in their late 30s and 40s and 50s, they've been thinking about it since their early 20s, mm-hmm. okay, when they felt like they could make that decision for themselves. And for whatever reason, mm-hmm. they opted not to do that. So it really spans a large age
yes.
range. And then you asked me, if the listeners picked up on that, you asked me, are you referring, when I asked you age groups, you said, are you referring to women who are looking at it for the first time? Mm-hmm. So there's definitely a subset, a growing subset of women who've had breast augmentation in their earlier years, maybe even way before you and I were, taking care of patients for cosmetic mm-hmm. breast reasons. And they're coming in some 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years yeah. later, and they want to do an exchange. They like the way they look, mm-hmm. and they're looking for an exchange. So what would you say is the oldest patient that we've taken care of in terms of any kind of cosmetic breast surgery?
75?
I think we push close
plus,
to 80.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, you know, some people who maybe aren't into this or they're younger, like, mm-hmm. well, why would you do that? Hey, you know, I'm a aging baby boomer. I'm thinking, you go, girl, right?
Yeah,
if it's important to you, you go ahead and do that if it's going to help you to feel better about yourself, right?
Yes.
So I'm going to say that most women have been thinking about this for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And really their motivation is for themselves.
Yeah.
Okay. What percentage of women do you think come in with another person to their consultations?
Not very often.
Not very often. Less than 10%,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah.
And maybe of that less than 10% of women who maybe bring somebody in for a consultation regarding breast augmentation, what percentage do you think are women and what percentage do you think are men?
Ooh, that brings someone in?
Yes. Of those 10%.
Maybe 3% men?
Yes, yeah. Pretty small. I was going to say 1 or 2%,
yeah.
which actually I think is fantastic, because really what it's telling you is, you know, you can have the argument about social influences and so forth about how we make our decisions mm-hmm. in life, but really what makes me feel good is that at least in our subset of patients that we see is they're coming in on their own,
yeah.
or if they come in, they may bring in a girlfriend or a mm-hmm. sister or maybe their yeah. mom or something yeah. like that, or their daughter, but really they're doing it for themselves. It's not that classic where you may have heard in the past, oh, they're doing it for the guys, and,
right.
and the guy
no.
shows up. So I
yeah.
love that happens. So really, in terms of why women are looking for breast augmentation, in particular, I'm going to say they just want to feel more confident mm-hmm. in their body.
Yes, yeah. I agree.
What other questions?
All right, next
we
question. Why is breast augmentation our most popular, our number one?
Right. So I think that it's my opinion that breast augmentation still ranks always in the top three of cosmetic breast surgeries done. When the American Society of Plastic Surgeons does their annual review and they poll the plastic surgeons, like, you know, what are the most popular procedures that are being done? Breast augmentation is mm-hmm. always up there, number one, two, or maybe slips down to three, but it's always right up there. And again, I believe that that's the case because people who don't have an issue with their breasts, or maybe guys, don't understand that it's a big deal for women, okay, yeah. when they look at themselves, when they look in the mirror. And historically, women who have gone on to have cosmetic breast surgery, in particular augmentation, have the highest rate of patient satisfaction. Mm. It's 95%. I mean, what else gives you mm-hmm. that kind of satisfaction rate, that they're so happy to have improved their image, mm-hmm. their self-image, that they tell their friends tell their friends, and that's why we sort of seem to have a steady flow of people contacting you regarding cosmetic breast surgery, in particular, breast augmentation.
Mm-hmm. I think you covered this a little bit, but if maybe you want to dive into it, what are the top reasons women do get breast augmentation?
Okay, so usually what it is that they feel that they've never developed, okay, mm-hmm. and that's going to be especially in that first subgroup that mm-hmm. we talked about in the 20s and early 30s. And, you know, we've always, you know, we've heard, you know, the bad jokes and being part of the itty bitty, and I'm not going to continue with that, okay?
Right.
But, you know, and they can joke about it, but it's bothering them, all right? And then What a lot of people don't understand is when people have something done cosmetically in the body, it's not to necessarily be in a bikini on Instagram, mm-hmm. but actually it's how they look in their clothes. Mm-hmm. And so when they go to the store, they look at clothes, how they want to look their best, present themselves, mm-hmm. that they feel that that's a part that's just lacking for them.
Right.
So part of that is just their own perception of not being developed and not being feminine. Mm-hmm. And usually that's what at least most of the women that we see want to achieve, is they want to feel more feminine. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I have performed cosmetic breast augmentation on doctors, surgeons, mm-hmm. okay, dentists, lawyers.
Yeah.
Police officers, okay, mm-hmm. A whole host of subgroup of women that you would think would be very strong.
Right.
Okay. And I love when they come back and they'll say, you know, to us, and you've heard them say that, you know, I didn't think I was lacking for self-confidence, but ever since I had this done, I have to say right. I'm walking around with more jump in my step mm-hmm. and all, and they just feel better about themselves.
Yeah.
So that to me is probably the most gratifying part of performing cosmetic breast surgery or cosmetic breast augmentation.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Okay, so you agree. So that's
I do.
What you're getting. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And then why are you one of the top breast surgeons?
Why am I one of the top breast surgeons?
Yeah, the crowd wants to know.
Okay, the crowd wants to know. Why am I? Well, I do think that there's a couple reasons, and one of them is you. Okay.
Yeah.
But what I'm going to say is I think it starts from where our motivation is. And so for those who don't know, because we've been fortunate enough to be, you know, well-regarded in our community for cosmetic surgery, that I previously had another career, and that was as a general vascular organ transplant mm-hmm. surgeon. And so being a general surgeon, about a third of my office practice mm-hmm. revolved around medical women's health,
mm-hmm.
okay, and in particular with breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I got a real understanding and education and increasing my emotional IQ on what the breast means to a woman. So when we were talking about a not fun subject of taking care of them for breast cancer and maybe having to alter their image and in particular their breast, that was devastating to the patient, not only because of the potential risk of loss of life, but because of also the self-image, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that was very, very impressive to me, how much that shook these poor women, okay? And so I spent 24 years working with women such as this in terms of trying to help them to, for, number one, survival, and then two, also trying to give them solace, to console them mm-hmm. in terms of moving on with their life. And so that actually was one of the reasons why initially I wasn't sure I wanted to get involved cosmetic breast surgery. Do you know the story about how we got started? Because I know you've joined us the last 5 years, but we've been doing this for close to 20 years now.
Right. I think I may know.
Okay. What's your guess?
My guess was people really wanted you to do more, offer more services awake, right? And they were requesting.
That is correct. So what's unique about, I'm supposed to be answering the questions that I'm asking. Asking you questions, Karina. So, Karina, what is unique about our surgical techniques in our office?
So, we perform all our surgeries awake under 2-MESA anesthesia.
Under
so
local
we're awake.
Anesthesia,
local.
Exactly. So that is that's sort of our niche mm-hmm. in the market, right? And so, I was fortunate enough to be the first surgeon in Northern California to introduce mm-hmm. smart lipo or laser liposuction, which was performed under local anesthesia. Having said that, I had a lot of young ladies who were moms who are now coming back, and they would approach me and they'd say, you know, Dr. Tom, you know, I've been thinking about cosmetic breast surgery. I know that you were a general mm-hmm. surgeon and doing breast surgery in the past as well, and you do things under local. You know, can you do my breast mm-hmm. augmentation under local anesthesia? And at first, just because of my history dealing on the medical side of cosmetic, sorry, everybody, I just knocked down my water bottle. We are live here at KSRO here in Santa Rosa, California, that I wasn't sure that I wanted to get involved on the cosmetic side, but it was and I have to thank these women who trusted me, because they came to me, they said, you know, I have children, okay, mm-hmm. and this may be a story that some of you out there can identify with. I have children, I want to do this for myself, It's time I did it for myself, but I'm feeling guilty. Mm-hmm. You're a mom.
Yeah.
Do you feel guilty?
Yeah.
All the time, right?
All the time.
Moms feel guilty all the time. I mean, God bless our mommies, right? So, you know, they were feeling guilty about it, and they wanted to minimize their risk. Mm-hmm. And so they didn't want to have a procedure done under general anesthesia, and they knew we did it under local. Mm-hmm. And that's why. That's how, I should say, that I got started. So I went down to Southern California, learned from a general surgeon who was performing cosmetic breast surgery under local anesthesia, mm-hmm. brought it here, and lo and behold, now it's become our number one most demanded cosmetic procedure in our office is breast augmentation under local anesthesia. So that's kind of how we started. So I think that women do come to see us, and maybe we're highly regarded because of our technique. I think the second reason that we are sought after is because of my history as a previous medical breast surgeon, that they know that I'm really advocating for them, that I tried being a guy with an XY chromosome, but being a guy, I try to advocate and empathize with what their wants are, what their needs are. And because I have a kind of a more general outlook, not just cosmetic, that they're more trusting of maybe recommendations that I may give them, like, oh, maybe that's a little bit too big, we should say smaller, or... And then often I'll tell them that, you know, I'm not somebody who thinks everybody should be big, but maybe because of your frame, to get the look you want, you might have to go a little bit bigger. So I think that's probably the second reason that people come. And then the third reason, I think, is because of you. Okay. And the reason I think that is because we talk about advocating for the patient. That's why we ask for you to be put in the position as a surgical liaison.
Thank you.
So what do you do? Here I am now asking you the question. Oh. So what do you do for the patient who's interested in breast augmentation and they set up a phone consultation initially with you, although they can come in and talk to you as well.
Right.
But a lot of times everyone's so busy, hey, if I can, you know, take 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, sometimes an hour,
right,
with you on the phone, and I can chat with you on the phone while my little kids are running around in the playground, right? What role do you have for these women who call?
Yeah, so I'm kind of like the, I guess, facilitator, right? So
I
facilitate things for the patient because, you know, they're calling and, you know, either they have a lot of questions or they don't know anything. So kind of educating or answering questions about cost or, you know, even sizing sometimes if they have questions. So my job is to just help prep the patient to see you so that they have information ahead of time and they know kind of what to expect and then you're the expert. So then I say, and then Dr. Tom will review everything with you.
Okay, so I'm going to get, you're throwing me under the bus. No, that's totally appropriate because you're not a physician, but you answer a lot of questions from the perspective of being our surgical liaison. What I tell people, what's so great about having you be part of our team is they get you from the beginning to the very end. So the beginning, they're on the phone with you, right?
Yes.
Then they come in for a consultation, and who's in the consultation with me?
Yeah, usually me.
Usually you. Like 99% of the time, it's you there. Okay. And oh, you're Karina, you know, and so they get a chance to meet with you then, and then of course then we go through our explaining the procedure, risk, those kind of things, and you're helping them with their pre-op. Then they show up on the day of surgery, and who's there with me?
Yeah, me.
You, exactly.
Me again.
You and Bridie, and you're our surgical assistant and our scrub techs, and so you're helping them with the surgery. We're doing a wake. You're chatting with them. They have you. You're their friend. You're their BFF, their new best friend forever. And so there, and then after their surgery, of course, I'm calling them afterwards, and we bring them in for their multiple post-op visits, and who's there?
Yeah, I'll be there too.
You're there too. Okay.
However, I did have a patient tell me, you said you'd be here for my surgery and I had to be out for personal reasons. And I said, I'm so sorry. So I will give you a heads up if I plan to be out.
Okay. So there you go. But that's the importance of them having somebody like you to be with them all through the procedure. And you're there through the post-op visits as well. And if they have a question 5 years later, what do they get to do? They get to call and they talk to you. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
So that's huge, everybody. I think that, you know, it's a team, and I'm very proud of the team. And I know we've been lucky. How many years now have we won the Press Democrat Best Cosmetic Surgery Team?
10.
10 years,
yes.
and I want to thank everybody. First of all, I want to thank my mom who lives in Maryland who votes for me, and I want to thank you, Jeff, for voting for us so we keep on coming to the show here, and everyone else who is kind enough to vote for us. We greatly appreciate it, mm-hmm. and the best part of it is because we're part of this community,
right?
And we take that very seriously. So you're with the patient every step of the way,
absolutely.
And so I think that's why we are regarded and we're sought after for their cosmetic breast surgery. All
yes.
right, so.
All
no,
right.
That sounds like I was plugging up. So let's move on.
What's
the next question? Maybe we skip ahead a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, okay. Let's see. Do we want to do... Well, we covered those.
We covered those, yeah. We wrote a list.
We
covered a lot of those.
All right, this one's a good one. Okay. So why do we offer free consultations?
We offer free consultations?
Yeah.
We don't charge them for it?
No, we don't.
I'm going to have to talk to somebody at the office. Okay. No, we offer free consultations. And why do we do that?
Yeah.
Well, it goes along with our philosophy of education. Just as I was just waxing on not so eloquently about how they get you all the time, because then they have an advocate. That's what we do. Mm-hmm. And I think that to put a price tag on that is is inappropriate. You come in, we're educating you. I tell our patients, Karina, I say, you're coming in and this is what I would recommend for you. You come in and number one, you want to see, do I like the team? Mm-hmm. Do I like Dr. Tom? Do I like Karina? Okay. Mm-hmm. We're doing the same thing. Let's just call it Natasha's the patient, okay? I always call our anonymous patient Natasha. So, you know, do we like Natasha? Mm-hmm. Do we think we can work with Natasha? Does Natasha, looking at us, think that she can work with mm-hmm. us? So that's number one. Okay. Then what is it that we're offering her? Mm-hmm. So that's where we have to spend the time to educate her so that she can make the decisions. In the old days where the doctors were God, they just sort of made the decision, mm-hmm. told you what size you're going to be, and I think that was totally inappropriate. We kind of swung a little bit too much the other way, mm-hmm. where women were coming in and trying to tell us what they should have because their girlfriends told them that's what
right.
they should have. Okay. So really, we are a team. And so when we win the best of, you know, the Press Democrat best of award, it's really our patients are our team as
right.
well. We say that. You are part of our team when you sign up with mm-hmm. us. So we kind of go back and forth. We're educating them mm-hmm. so that they can make their decisions, and we will support them all the way up to the point where maybe I feel that, okay, maybe that decision you want to make I don't think is in your best interest, and
right.
we have that conversation.
Right.
So that's the reason why we make it free for the consultations. We spend about an hour with them, and I think that it has done us, our patients well, and it's done us well as well.
Okay, I think we have time for one more question.
Okay, let's
do
it.
Why is it so important to book your consultation and surgery soon?
Okay. Because everyone's busy, including us,
yes.
right?
Yes.
And so a lot of times you have in your mind, this is the tough part. A lady's been thinking about this for 4 years, and then they come in and they want to have it done in 2 days, right?
Right.
Right. Okay. So we need a little heads up, okay? We're busy.
Right.
We want to make it so it's best for you. It takes time. You have to coordinate your care, your team that's going to take care mm-hmm. of you. We have to coordinate for us
right.
In terms of what we want to do. We want to do it. Now, I don't want to do this and then be leaving for 5 weeks, okay?
Right.
I want to make
yeah.
sure that I'm around for the patient. So that's how we mm-hmm. approach it. So if you're thinking about it, it's easy. Part of the reason that I wanted the show to go the way that it is today. I wanted you to meet Karina, listen to her, see her on YouTube. That's part of it as well. And know that you can call. You have got a great friendly person who's going to advocate for you. Look at dates. And so then we can move forward and make
right.
this be a seamless, a wonderful adventure for you as yes. we can. A wonderful experience. So Karina, thank you for being
thank
here.
You.
Thank you for
thank
being
you.
Here and being with me all along the way for our patients. Jeff, thank you very much for being our producer here on KSRO Ask the Expert. And again, we're going to be celebrating in a week or so, the Press Democrat Best of Awards that we were so fortunate
yes.
to have after
thank
10
you.
Years, 10 years in a row. And I want to thank everybody here. Aloha, everybody. Sonoma, Napa, and Maui. Thank you, everybody.
You don't know you're beautiful. Oh, that's what makes you beautiful.
You've been listening to Dr. Tom of Dr. Tom Cosmetic Surgery in Santa Rosa, Napa, and Maui. Check out all the great information online at drtomcosmetic.com as well as on YouTube. We'll see you next week at 12:30 p.m. right here on KSRO.